Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for staying here for so long. Well, my original title was Field Soil Water Rotation and its variation with space and time. But today, I'd like to focus on the variation with time and its implications on hysteresis. Well, we know this, the hysteresis in the textbook, we also see the drying curve, wetting curve, and then also some mechanism to explain it, why it's happening. But the thing is, okay, there are theories talking about it. Problem is, we don't have lots of data to show it, and also very difficult to measure it for long term in situ. Because of that one, many times in modeling or in application, we assume hysteresis is negligible, and we rarely count it. But some work based on simulation said, yeah, what is if there is any? So here we have a unique data set that was not prepared initially, but it eventually provided a data set for a period of 9 years at in situ measurement. On this picture, we see the surface barrier. It has a length of about 80 meters from here to there and 40 meters width. In the middle portion is a 2 meter thick of silt loam that is engineered, so that is homogenized, packed there. That means the soil is generally homogeneous. The purpose of this structure, there are more layers here, later I will show a cross-section, is to protect that the underground is a radioactive waste trench there to prevent any reinfiltration from going through that waste for long term. The data actually showed some water content measurement, water potential measurement. We compare them together actually. We can use them to estimate the water retention and its variation over time. This is the picture after the surface barrier was constructed. I think I have a video there, but probably it may not work. It's somehow, if not, it actually works now. So you can see the many layers there. You see the soil, there's a trench there, compact soil. There are some rock layers, and then up the sand filter, there's a silt loam there. There are two side slopes protecting the structure. So this is a cross-section to show more details. We see there is this portion is the silt loam layer, has two 1 meter layers. The first, the difference of the two layers, on the first 2 meter, there was a 15% by mass gravel, pea gravel. The purpose of all that is to prevent the surface erosion. In case there is any erosion, then the gravel would be left behind it and form a gravel armor to protect further erosion. So the second layer is just a silt loam. That's another more detailed cross-section. I will skip this part. So for the mounting part, in the silt loam, we have some 12 water balance mounting stations here. Water content measured was used a neutron probe at each of the 12 stations from 15 centimeters below ground surface all the way to 1.8 meters, close to the bottom of the layer at a 15 centimeter interval. At each of the stations, there's also a series of six HDUs, heat dissipation units, to measure water pressure or water mixture potential. The depth of these HDUs and neutron probe measurement don't exactly match each other, but we try to match them close together for find out for at four depths, they are very close. 4 to 5 centimeters, they are the same. There's a neutron probe log at 75 centimeters and another HDU near at 80, 125 centimeters and 180 and 175. So they don't differ at most is by 5 centimeters vertically. Horizontally, the two sets of sensors are differ by offset by 0.3 meters, 30 centimeters. So we paired this data. So there's 12 stations, 4 depths. That will make the ideal, the maximum of 48 sets of data. At the site, the weather is have a typical wet fall to winter season and a very dry summer season. So this is show the soil water content at the cross section. That's actually measured there. This I just want to mention the scale from minus 12 to 12 meters. That's a 24 meter cross section. That is roughly 2 meters depth there. Nope, starting to play. So this is the winter. I would like to show the winter season. During the winter season, soil would be getting wetter and wetter. And then this is the late March. So generally from November to March, the soil becomes wetter primarily. That's the process. Let me try again, see if this one will go. I'm starting to use it. So then from April to October, that is a dry very season. The soil becomes like from this wet and then back to something this dry. So this is a typical measured water content that here's from 1995 all the way to the year 2003. This is, was selected the station 1 at 45 centimeters below ground surface. Water content measurement and pressure head measurement. We can see clearly the seasonal variation for each year. That is roughly, this started as October 1st. So roughly as November, now all the way to March, pretty much similar each year. That's the typical pattern. So we paired the data, and instead we only had 36 data sets valid for the work. Some HDUs didn't perform well because of all kinds of reasons, so we exclude those data. So we grouped the data by prime wetting period from November to March, and then drying period from April to October. Also, we group them by time as well, by years. See, from 1995 to 1996, 97 to 98, then 2000 to 2003. There was a data gap here because of the discontinuity of the project. So there was no data collection for that period. I want to mention what happened after 2003. There were data collection as well. Neutron probe data were collected by the HDUs because the surface unit had a problem. That ends up no valid data for later. And then the further work went on, the system had problems and never maintained well enough for valid data. This is the example here. See, it's a very busy, but I want to mention roughly the open symbols show the drying period. The open circles, there's some here. And the filled symbols for the wetting period. I also fit the lines. The solid white line is overall average retention curve here. And the drying curve is the dashed gray line. And it's colored is the wetting line here. There is a little bit hysteresis in this graph. But we see that in the actually relatively wet part, surprisingly, that you don't see much. Here, we see it's very scattered, but remember there's a lot of data overlap each other. It's actually very close together here. So it's actually, we see the variation is relatively small. was the one, the second one is actually S2 station 2. It's also 45 centimeters below ground surface. Actually, this one, even we don't see any average differences. Not just the drying and wetting period, even over the 9-year period, we don't see any difference there. Another example is there. So for all of them, we did a average. So we say, okay, for all of the data put together, we fit the Van Gennep model, and this is the alpha values. The brown color is the wetting period data, and the blue is the drying period data. We see it except the this is the average depth, 1.775 here. The drying period has slightly larger alpha values. The last two bars show the overall average values, 6.7 versus 5.42. Actually, we see that because alpha is tend to be log normally distributed, so the difference actually is not that much. We also, this is the alpha n parameter. They're actually even closer. So overall, this the average is 1.56, 1.57 of the difference. Then we say, okay, I want to check the distribution of the observations. So we did the try to find out for all the observations, use a non-hysteretic curve as the reference. See how many points is above the curve and how many points is below the curve. There's a fraction, just to check that one. So for each of the depth, we see that is overall is most of the curves generally, except this one, more than 50% is above the upper side. From the no more than 60%, 50 to 60%, 61 there. So on average, 59 for the wetting curve and 53 for the drying curve. So the difference is actually very small. So it means the difference from what we thought, for the drying curve, there should be more points above the average, and for the wetting curve, it should be more below the curve. That is not the case what we saw here. I also did the calculation, so okay, let me do an average. What is the error for me to, how far away we do the average from the non-historic average curves? For all of the points together, where is the, compare with the average. We see that this is based using the word counting values. We see the difference is really small from to the 0.005. This is only 0.0025. That is way below the detection limit we can measure there. So that statistically, we don't see the difference from different aspects to check it. So that is for the 9 years data, we see all the data, this is also for the measurement. We found out the alpha dry and alpha wet ratio is on average 1.24, and the N dry, N wet is 0.94. We can see these two values are very close to one. It means the two dry parameter and wet parameters are very close to each other during the 9-year period of data measurement. Also, other statistical measurement to show they are very close to the non-historic curve, hysteretic curves. So this one, we said, okay, from this data set, we indicate that probably in the field, it is reasonable, at least for this soil, to assume the hysteresis is negligible. And also, the property is very, very stable over time. That's all what I have. I'd like to answer any questions.
To fit the curve, yes.
So how
long was this time
The data measurement is during a 9-year period of time. So when we see the non-historic curve, that is all of the data. So generally, each curve contains roughly from 50 to 100 data points. So all of them. If it's wet and dry, then it's just by season, divided the two data sets by half. Not by half, by the season. So by two groups to fit those dry season data and the wet season data to get the curves.
One more question.
So the freezing and thawing didn't loosen up the soil.
The freezing thaw is a soil loss. Right.
Yeah. And then to reduce the bulk density, usually, but not in your case.
Freezing thawing happens for the shallow soil. Probably that will happen. For this one, we didn't directly measure bulk density at the site. All the measurement was in situ there. There's no movement. So the data, if any change in porosity or bulk density, statistically at least it is not reflected in the data set.
Okay.